Hello and welcome to the December 2012 edition of The President's Perspective, a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. This month's installment will be something of a retrospective, looking back over this past year and some of the conversations that Dr. Jones has been a part of with our listening audience. We'll start, though, with a chat that Dr. Jones recently had with a radio station in Dallas as part of a Sunday morning news program. The topic was the presence of Texas A&M University Commerce in downtown Dallas.
We are at 1901 Main Street. It's what is known as the University's Center of Dallas. And we've been there since about 1994. Our presence in downtown Dallas is actually one of the oldest MITSEs in Texas, the very oldest, in fact. Now, what is a MITSE? A MITSE is a multi-institution teaching center. And so what we do at 1901 Main is we teach courses, we teach entire degree programs, and we share the facility with the University of North Texas. So it's we've been there a long time. It's a growing program, and it's home to some very well-recognized programs as well. We grow when Dallas grows, and there is, the growing market in higher education is not in students who, graduate from high school, and that fall they move into a dormitory and they stay for 4 years. Now, that's still a very important market, and we serve that market very well out here in Commerce, Texas. But the growth is for the place-bound working adults, and those are the folks whom we reach out to, mid-career professionals, people who have reached a point in their professional lives where they need that credential to move on, take the next step in their career. So that's really the people that we're reaching out to in downtown Dallas.
Dr. Jones was also asked to address changes to the Commerce campus over the last 15 years.
Oh, it's a completely different campus, completely different institution. 15 years ago is, actually, that's a significant number. It's 16 years ago, actually, that we joined the Texas A&M University system. Those of your listeners who are, say, over the age of 20, which I assume is a lot of them, will remember us as old ET, East Texas State. But in 1996, we joined the Texas A&M University system, and it's just been a tremendous spurt of growth in terms of facilities, in terms of campus beautification, and we just this fall had our third year in a row of record enrollments. In higher ed, it's all about growth, and I say that because the population of the state is growing, and we really take seriously our commitment to the people of the state of Texas to help close the gaps, and that's a term that we use sometimes in Austin. What that means is we want to close the gaps in educational attainment and educational achievement for a diverse community. As we know, Hispanics, African Americans are underrepresented in higher education, and we're very serious about reaching out to all members of our service region and giving them the opportunity they need to transform their lives through education.
Next, Dr. Jones addresses the growth that our university is experiencing.
Well, there's a couple of things. As I mentioned, we're growing very quickly. We are one of the top five fastest growing universities in the state of Texas. As I mentioned, this is our third year in a row of record enrollment. We continue to be one of the state's leading producers of teachers, highly qualified teachers, and this has been true since we were founded in 1889. We're also one of the oldest universities in the state of Texas, and we were founded as what was then known as a normal college. Normal college simply meant a college that prepared teachers. Well, we have maintained that legacy, we've maintained that tradition, and we have long been known and continue to be known as sort of the go-to place for highly qualified teachers. Anyone who has grown up in this part of the state, or really any part of the state, will have had a teacher who is trained at either Old ET or Texas A&M University Commerce.
And finally, Dr. Jones talks the value that A&M Commerce offers.
We have a great value proposition out here. If you compare the cost of attendance out here in Commerce, we are definitely in the lower 50% in the state. And I haven't seen the numbers this fall, but typically we're in the bottom third among public institutions of higher education. Of course, the cost of living in Commerce is pretty low compared to urban areas as well. But a student who wants to come here and live in a residence hall, kind of have the complete college experience, it's a bargain. It's a great value. I'd like to talk very briefly about our distance education program. We got on board with distance education very early. We were early adopters, early 90s, just when the internet was still, people were still kind of finding out what it was. We started offering online courses. And so we kind of got on the crest of the wave on that one. And looking back, it was a very smart move because, of course, that's where a tremendous amount of growth occurs in higher education these days. Typically, about 30% of the courses we teach are delivered at a distance. And when I say at a distance, that means either online over the internet or at one of our six regional locations, including the UCD. You know, and there's always going to be a place, and a very important place, for the traditional college campus with the traditional four-year kind of private liberal arts college feel to it. And actually, when you come out here on the Commerce campus, that's you kind of sense that ambiance. But if we truly are going to reach out and get more Texans educated, more Texans credentialed with a degree, then we're going to have to find more creative ways of reaching them. And distance education is a key part of that strategy.
You're listening to The President's Perspective, a monthly half-hour chat with Dr. Dan Jones, president at Texas A&M University Commerce. This December episode is dedicated to looking back at conversations over the past year. In August, we had the honor and privilege of speaking with Dr. Barbara Tucker, who was leading the effort to get our university's nursing program underway alongside Dr. Jones. Here's that conversation.
I'm very pleased to have as our guest for this segment Dr. Barbara Tucker. She is our department head and director of our fledgling nursing program. And Dr. Tucker, welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for the hard work. I know we kind of stole you out of retirement for this gig, and that's a tough sell. But I know this has been your life's work, and you saw here an opportunity to make a difference.
I very definitely did. It was a need, and it was experience that I had accomplished before, both a baccalaureate program and a master's level program, as well as nurse practitioner programs. So I felt that my abilities and previous experience would be of use.
Right. Well, and which was exactly the case. You were exactly the right person. You were able to see all the bumps in the road and steer us around the potholes and coach us in what we needed to do. And you're from the region.
Yes. My husband and I both retired from the University of Texas Pan American down in the Rio Grande Valley to Wolf City, Texas. We have a small ranch up there.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, it's a great place to retire and a great place to come out of retirement, as the case may be.
Yeah, he's still retired and playing golf.
Yeah, okay. Well, I want to talk about a couple of different dimensions of our program. One is, let's take the kind of the broad macro view and ask you to talk a little bit about the nursing shortage in Texas and how our program will help fill that need.
Okay. Well, there's very definitely a nursing shortage nationwide. Texas is predicting a 70,000 nurse shortage by the year 2020. And unless we more than double the number of registered nurses that the educational institutions are able to put out, we're definitely not going to meet that need.
Right.
In addition, they are really needing more educated registered nurses, nurses educated at the baccalaureate level.
Yes.
The Institutes of Medicine put out a report in 2010 recommending that nurses be educated at the baccalaureate level. 80% of the nurses be educated at the baccalaureate level by the year 2020. At this point, over 60% of nurses are being educated at the associate degree level.
Right.
In the four-county area surrounding A&M Commerce, we have less than 40% of our nurses educated at the baccalaureate, only 20.9% in Hunt County.
Wow.
So to meet that 80% level, we've got a lot of work ahead of us.
I would say so. And Jared, I'll recall a spirited discussion that we had in Austin that Dr. Tucker and I were both at, at which we were challenged as to the validity of the premise you just offered. And we were told, well, aren't two-year nurses just as good as four-year baccalaureate qualified nurses?
Sure.
And cost the state a lot less money to train. And I was kind of glancing at Dr. Tucker throughout this conversation and could see her kind of stiffening up. But it wasn't just a matter of having an angry response. She was right on top of it with a research study. I know you followed up, sent some data.
Absolutely, yes.
That would indicate that, well, you tell me.
Well, over the last 10 years, there have been a lot of research looking at the presence of RNs in hospitals and what it does to mortality rate. Linda Aiken has compiled a lot of studies. I think 300,000, 400,000 patients showing that had the presence of RNs, of registered nurses, decreases the mortality rate. Turingo in 2006 published a study of about 126,000 patients showing that a 10% increase in baccalaureate prepared registered nurses results in 9 fewer deaths per 1,000 patients.
Right.
Now that's a significant.
That's pretty compelling stuff.
Yes, a very significant difference.
Wow.
So, Jared, the good news for you and me is, you know, we're all prospective customers of the nursing profession.
Who's excused? No one.
Yeah. Right. So the more baccalaureate-prepared nurses we can turn out,
sure,
the more lives we can be saving. That sounds dramatic, but it's absolutely true. Let me ask you to talk a little bit about the unique focus of our program, and I'm thinking about the emphasis on rural health care in particular.
Yes, it really makes a difference where you're located. The hospitals and clinics and everything that our nurses, our graduates, will be helping to staff have a much higher level of acuity and need for decision making than those in urban settings. When you have an urban setting, you've got an infrastructure there, you've got interns and residents and physicians in house, and we don't always have that as much here. And the nurses need to make higher level decisions in a much faster amount of time, much shorter amount of time, and therefore they need the higher level of education.
Right, because they have more responsibility.
Exactly. So we will be educating our nurses in these rural hospitals in our area. We will be using Greenville, Hunt County Regional Medical Center, Hunt Regional Medical Center.
Right.
We will be using physicians' offices. We'll be using a hospital in Rockwall. We'll be using one in Rowlett.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are more rural than, say, Parkland Hospital or Baylor or whatever in Dallas.
And one thing that we've learned in this process is that if we're going to address the nursing shortage in rural areas, then we best be recruiting nursing students from rural areas because this is their home. And if they receive their degree at A&M Commerce, which for some of them is coming to the big city,
right.
they're much more likely to want to stay here, whereas if they go to an urban area, they're less likely to want to come back. So this is a bit of a leap of faith involved here, but it's more than that. I mean, we've seen that work in terms of some of the employment statistics.
Research has shown that nurses that are educated in rural settings tend to stay in those rural settings. And we've even heard from one of the CEOs of the local hospitals that he spends an awful lot of money recruiting nurses from some of the urban settings, and they'll stay maybe a year, and then they are heading back.
Right.
So
right.
we definitely, you know, grow our own and educate our own, and we will then be able to staff our own.
Right. So, Jared, this is a great step forward for A&M Commerce. We're very, very encouraged, and we think that things are lining up nicely to launch our nursing program under full operational authority of A&M Commerce this coming January.
When we return, we step back to June of this year and a time when collegiate debt was on the mind and the blog of a nearby and very public billionaire. Dr. Jones's response when we return. I'm Jared Knight, and you're listening to The President's Perspective, only on your station, 88.9 KETR.